see everyone in the house of the Lord. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, today I want to deal with a specific issue that I just feel like this morning I've not been able to get away from this topic and this thought in my mind. And whoever you are that will listen to this by tape or hearing it this morning, then just know that this message is specific. This is for somebody and for somebody to take and to run with. And so I hope this morning you take this, whoever you are, and apply it to your life. Go with me to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, and the 24th verse is where we will eventually get to. That is the main thought this morning, as I want to speak on when I'm weak. Look at the person beside you and ask them, what do you do when you're weak? That is a very important question, because there are going to be times in our lives where I just don't feel like it. There are going to be times in our life I just don't think that it's going to turn out. There are times in my life where I just don't have the strength and I'm weak. And that doesn't go good as a Christian, because we're not supposed to be weak. We're supposed to, you know, be victorious and smiling and everything. And it seems to contradict everything about our life that we are weak. But when we study the Bible and when we really spend time there, you will find out that weakness is a powerful tool. In fact, the Bible says that God has looked for the weak things, the base things, the simple things, to confound those that are wise and think themselves to be strong. They think that they've got it together, and they think that nothing can touch them. And throughout the Bible, you will find that God uses these scenarios to fix problems and to change people's hearts and minds. In fact, let me kind of give you a little bit of a run-through. We use that scripture all the time. Let the weak say that I'm strong. And that comes from the book of Joel. If you'll turn there with me, Joel, the 3rd chapter. You don't have to, because it's going to be pulled up. Joel, the 3rd chapter and verse 10. Joel 3, verse 10 says it this way. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say that I am strong. Now, a lot of times we say that and we don't know exactly what he's talking about, because we just take that one scripture out of there. But let me tell you what was going on at the time of the prophet Joel. There was, at that time, the people of Israel had kind of turned their back on God. And they had gone away from God. And Joel comes along at a very peculiar time in history. He doesn't date himself, but there's something going on during this time Joel is prophesying that seems amazing, but yet undefeatable. It is a locust plague. At this very time, the locusts are destroying Israel. They are coming in and they are wiping out crops. And I don't care how much you think you can stop them. I don't care how many times you put them and use them for fish bait. There was more locusts than they could do anything with, and the locusts kept coming. In fact, God is described at one time as using them as His mighty army. The locusts can even be used by God to do great things, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But the fact is that Joel stands there in the middle of this plague, in the middle of all of this, and he says, listen to me. Don't worry, there's going to be a revival one day, and all of this that's being eat up and all this is being destroyed will be returned. In fact, when the Apostle Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, he quotes the prophet Joel and says, listen, in the latter days, God will pour out His Spirit. He will come back. The locusts will stop and all of the devouring will stop. But there's coming a time when God is going to restore. And so he says to them, listen, tear down your
your axes and tear up all of your plows right now. Don't worry about that, because what we need to realize is we need weapons of warfare. We need weapons of destruction. You can't fight locusts. You can't stop them, but we can serve a God in a battle mentality to where we can overcome. So let the weak say that I'm strong. When you're standing there and it looks like you can't stop anything and you can't do anything and you can't fix anything, let the weak at that moment say, you know what? I am strong. This will not take me down, and this will not end what God has in store for me. Now, this is when the prophet Joel spoke this, and that's not my sermon today. I'm not trying to preach that book, so we're going to skip on over to 2 Corinthians. If you go to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you will hear something that's very powerful. But before we get to that, I need you to go to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is what? And his speech contemptible. Now I want you to understand what is going on. The Apostle Paul has already written 1 Corinthians, dealt with the Corinthian church. He founded this church. This was a very powerful church in their day. But the problem is that people had come in who were better speakers and others, and some liked Apollos more than they liked Paul, and it was becoming factions inside the church. And Paul comes along, and they think about Paul, and they say this about Paul: he's just a weak little old fella. He's not very big of stature. He can't really do a whole lot. He's kind of weak, and he's getting old and long in the tooth. And you know what? He's long-winded. He talks too long. That guy preaches forever. I mean, he can preach all night if you gave him the pulpit. And not only that, but his words are weighty. And when he talks, he acts like he knows something we don't know. He acts like he's better than us. He acts like he's been somewhere we haven't been. And it's contemptible. And he almost acts like he's better than us when he talks, like he's been somewhere that we haven't been. And he calls us children, and he calls us his kids. And I'm tired of that. And you know what? He's a weak little old fella that just doesn't have the place, and we don't even need to give him the time. Now go with me to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians and pick up at verse 10. Paul says, I want to give you an answer to this problem that you've got in your mind. Therefore, I take pleasure in what? Infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He said, let me tell you something about this little weak fellow that you're talking about. I can take a better beating than most of you. I can go through what most of you would quit at. He said, I'm telling you, I rejoice when they throw me in jail. I have praised God when they stone me with rocks. I have sat there and sung praises when they beat me with rods. Don't talk about weak around me. I'm telling you, I'm not as weak as you think I am. You may just have a measuring stick that doesn't work. Whether you're 6'6" or 5'2" doesn't determine whether you're strong or not in the kingdom of God. Whether you're big or whether you're small doesn't mean much to the kingdom of God. He said, let me tell you something. I, in my distresses, have went through it all for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then what? I am strong. Verse 11 says the next part. He says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For and nothing I am behind in every chief apostle. He says, yes, I am a little contemptible. I do speak a little powerful. And let me explain why. He said, there ain't nobody you're going to find who's got more of God than I do. You're not going to find somebody who can know God, get to God, talk to God, and see God faster than I can. He said, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm one of the chief apostles. I'm one of the chief preachers. I'm the head honcho. I'm the man that's been sent by God to do what God called me to do. If that bothers you, tough luck. He said, but I know who I am in Christ. Not only that, but in nothing I am behind every chief, though I be what? He said, I am all of this, but I don't see myself as big. I am nothing. I have in fact suffered for your sake. Verse 12 says it this way. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, in mighty deeds. You're talking about somebody who goes downstairs and a guy falls out the window, breaks his neck and dies, and Paul prays for him, raises him from the dead, and they go right back to church. You are talking about a powerful man. But listen, if we're not careful, we will use the wrong measuring sticks to determine strength or weakness, to determine whether we have enough or not enough. We will use whether we've got something hanging on the wall, or whether somebody has told us we're okay, or somebody told us we're smart enough, or whether somebody told us we're able to, and we will sell out the fact that God looks for the weak, the simple, the unmighty things to show Himself strong.
People used to say all the time, Pastor, you don't need to tell everybody, you know, you just were a D student. You don't need to tell everybody you were this and tell everybody. And even now, people give me compliments, and I'm very quick to I just don't do good with compliments. And it's not because that I have a bad ego, because I'm everything they say. If you just want to know the truth, I'm everything they say. I'm like the Apostle Paul. You're right, I can do all those things. I'm a bad man. But really, I'm nothing. See, it is a very rare thing to know you possess all of that, but still don't have to have nobody tell you. That's a rare commodity. It's called maturity. I am weak, but I know I am strong. I know I'm not the best, but I know with Him backing me up, there is no weapon that can destroy me. See, I have that understanding. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I don't need to start taking online classes to make myself feel better about myself. I don't need another plaque on the wall. I don't need somebody to tell. I know who I am in Christ. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so I don't do good with the compass. I don't do good with that because I don't think in that direction. I think from the fact, God, find another way to use this vessel for Your glory. Find another way. And the Apostle Paul was the same way. He said, yeah, if you want to measure it up, he said, I'll tell you, I've been beat more than anybody. I've preached harder than anybody. I've done more miracles in front of you than anybody. If you want to take a litmus test, he said, I can pass your litmus test. He said, but understand, I am nothing in myself. So as people, we've got to get to an understanding to where we can balance the fact that I am, but I am also weak. And that's hard for us because we need to think we're strong to be somebody. We need to think we're strong. We need to convince ourselves. We've got to put on certain clothes so we feel good about ourselves today. And we've got to act certain ways. And we've got to look a certain way. And I mean, if our hair doesn't come out just right, our whole day's messed up. And everything about our life. And what it shows is that we're really not strong. We try desperately to find ways, what we live in, what we drive, whatever it may be, to prove to ourselves that I'm not weak. But when the final toll is told, when all it's tallied up, the reaction really is that we are weak. Every one of us in this room are weak. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. All have failed. All have stumbled. The enemy doesn't fear us because he knows how weak we are. It makes him so mad when we do defeat him through Christ because it just rubs it in his face that this insignificant, weak little old creation that God made has defeated me, has told me no, has told me to get out of the house, has told me to leave, has told me to let go. And all his demonics surround him, stand there and watch Satan as he has to back off. And as bad as he wants to be, he has to back off from this little creation that God has created that stands there in boldness. And it's described wonderfully like this. He said, God has made us a little lower than the angels. But then he crowned us with glory. He made us lower. We're not as powerful, not as strong. It's all the things fighting around us. But yet at the same time, he says, I'm going to crown you with a dominion and I'm going to crown you with a mindset. When you look at what the enemy does today, It's not so much trying to kill you. No, the killing part takes place just because you forget who you are. The devil's not trying to make you an alcoholic or trying to get you hooked on drugs or trying to get you on cigarettes or trying to get you to be a liar or a cheater or sleep around until you catch some disease. That's not his game plan. Those are just the results of someone who has determined that I am not enough in myself. It is just someone that has decided I am not complete in who I am. He doesn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm just going to get that person to work as hard as they can and sell out their family and everything for the job and for the money and that's going to be my plan. No, he just gets them to mindset themselves as, you know what, unless I reach that plateau, unless I have money, I'm nobody. And the rest will take care of itself. And we miss it so many times that his main goal is to try to determine within us and try to show us that we are weak. Weak to the point we won't win. But God says, let the weak say they're strong. Paul says that even when I am weak, I am strong. He has a mindset about him and it's wisdom. Look at the person beside you and say, do you have that kind of wisdom? I'm a big wisdom person. I'm a huge wisdom person. So you can imagine my favorite book of the Bible is Proverbs. So now go with me to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, and I want to show you something that you need to see today. These are in the 29th and 30th chapter of Proverbs. They're not written by Solomon himself. They are written by his scribes or by people that sat in there and listened to him and wrote down and through the power of the Holy Spirit wrote down thoughts that he had. And Solomon was just like anybody else. If you just hung around him as he was going along through, he could be walking through the woods, and as he was walking through the woods, he would say something that would be mind-boggling. In fact, that the one thing about ants that Solomon was right about for years that they thought he was wrong on. They said, oh, see, Solomon, the Bible's wrong. Then they'll try to point this stuff out. But he said, listen, the ants in chapter 6, he said they store. He said, go to the ants, you sluggard, in chapter 6 of Proverbs. And he says, describing putting stuff away and putting stuff away. And they said, Solomon messed up. The little white things that he saw were eggs that they had stored, not food. Well, after they had done research and able to do greater research, you know what they found out? There's an ant in Palestine where he lived. And guess what it does? It's called the grain ant. And Solomon saw them taking pieces of grain and storing them for the winter. And it's a powerful thing, the fact that he sat there and he watched. And he would say, watch that ant. Man, if lazy people could watch that ant right there. So we pin the scripture. Go to the ant, thy sluggard, and watch. Solomon was an incredible individual. Now, of all the things that he says, I love this the most. It's one of the most powerful. In fact, this whole 30th chapter where he talks about things he despises and things he hates, it's some good stuff in there. Some of y'all wouldn't have married the person you married if you'd have read this book. That's right. That woman that gives you so much trouble, men, he preached against that. He said, listen, there's some women you don't want to get up in their business with. He said, she's going to make your whole house unhappy. But in chapter 30, verse 24, that's what we're going to deal with today. And let's begin. There be four things which are little upon the earth. Look at the person beside you and say, little. Say, I'm little. I'm little. I'm weak. I'm small. From the time I played sports to the time I did anything, I was always little. I was never the biggest guy on the field, never the fastest, never. So there has to be a mindset beyond just my physical attributes. Notice, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly, what's the word? There are four things, four creatures, that if you can imitate them, if they're wise, then that'll make you what? No brainer. So all we need to do today to
realize that I am weak or small, but I'm strong, is to copy these four creatures and understand how they act out in life. The first one was the one we've already mentioned. Notice, the ants are a people not what? Not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Let me explain the first one. The first one is simply a carpenter ant or a store ant, or as we said before, one that is a grain ant who decides in the summertime when everything is plenty and food is plenty and everything looks like you don't have nothing to worry about. They decide at that time in their life to make decisions that will take care of them in the winter. Can I tell you that lions go hungry? They'll do a documentaries of lions and they'll say, you know what, these lions haven't eaten for days, the herds haven't come by, they haven't, and a lion just sits there under the tree getting skinnier and skinnier, hoping something comes by, hoping something runs around, hoping something comes by that he can nourish himself and feel himself. But can I tell you, right below him, digging in the ground, is an animal that never goes one day of its life without food. There's an animal that is not strong as him. He's not as powerful as him. He can't roar like him. He can't get excited like him. He can't run like him. But he gets up every day of his life and he says, you know what? I'm not going hungry today. I'm not going to miss out today. And Solomon said, you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to foresee what's going to happen in your life. The wisdom is the ability to look forward in your life and realize there will be some dry days and you had better have something stored back for those days. There are going to be some lonely days and you'd better have something stored back for lonely days. That's what messes up our generation. That's what messes up people today, because all we are is entertainment driven. And the moment we're not entertained and the moment we don't have anything, our whole world comes undone. We don't know what to do. If the power goes out and we can't play Xbox, if we can't talk on the cell phone for an hour or two, we think we've been grounded. In fact, parents do that. I'm going to ground you. You're not going to be able to talk on the cell phone for this long. What kind of grounding is that? You want to ground them. Put them in their room. Take off the TV. Take away the cell phone. Tell them, you know what? Here are books. Here are magazines. Here are things to learn. And that's all you're going to get for the next 2 weeks. You want to take something away, then be serious about it. Our problem is we live so entertainment-driven that we don't think anything about the future. So it's not a problem that if we get a little lonely, we're willing to date anything. Yeah, we can go 2 days without some boy to talk with on the cell phone. We think my whole world's come undone. Everybody else got a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. The first idiot that walks around the corner and texts you. Yeah. I watch people every day carry on conversations with people I don't even want to talk to. I'm thinking, are y'all crazy? Why are you even sitting there talking to each other? No good coming out of that conversation. The ant has the ability to foresee his life. When I was young, I dated people based on the type of people I would one day marry. I did my job at this level because I knew one day it would pay off at the next level. Because one day I would have to look back and I would have to call that person and say, look, would you give a reference for how I work? Well, we fill out applications today and what we try to do is not put any of the references we have, because we don't want none of those bosses telling them exactly what they think of us. We didn't show up on time then, we didn't work hard then, and now here we got a chance to get that good job. And I can't tell them how I've been acting. We were doing a married class, young couples class. There's some good stuff going on in there. But some of it kind of got back to me the other day, and it was humorous to me. Because somebody had said, you know what, if my wife would treat me better and do this and this and this and this for me, then you know what, I would do more of this and this. And that's our normal statement, isn't it? And I thought, and I just told the person that told me that, I said, well, that's a ridiculous statement. I said, let's say we do that with God.
God, if you'll just bless me with my new house, and you'll bless me with a car, and you'll bless, I'll show up at church more often. You know what? If you do that, I'll start paying tithes, God. As soon as you start blessing me, I'll start paying tithes. I said, if we start doing our relationships like that, if it's only entertainment driven, in fact, I'll give back as you're giving to me, then there is no love involved in any part of that. But that's how we think. We don't see futuristic. We don't think futuristic. We don't think how I treat somebody now is how I'm going to get treated later. We just sit here and say, if you'll treat me right, then that means I'll treat you right. But if you do me wrong, then that means I may have to do you wrong. The ant doesn't see it that way. The ant says, you know what? There are going to be some bad days, some dry days. There are going to be some rainy days. There are going to be some days I can't go outside. On those days, I'm just going to stay in the house and eat. Let the lion sit out there under the shade tree and try to figure out what he's going to eat. Let him chase rats around all day. I don't care. I've done already stored up. When all the food was plenteous, when everything was around, when there was plenty to eat, I was taking my time and storing up. For some of you, you need to do that financially. Some of y'all live so ridiculous a lives financially, it's pitiful. It is. If you do not have your income set up in a way to where you have your tithing, your spending, and your saving all set up, then you are messed up. If yours is just simply, I pay my tithes and I spend the rest, that's not a good system. There's going to come a day when you're going to have a dry day. There's going to come some moments when you're not going to have enough. And you're going to be unlike the ant. You're going to be like the lion sitting under the shade tree begging for any rat that'll come along. I don't know if it embarrasses you. It would embarrass the stew out of me that I was that bad at managing my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, you don't understand. I don't care if you got to sell your car and drive a moped. If that's what you can afford, that's what you can afford. Get the moped, put a smile on your face, and realize I'm saving $50 a week. You're going to have to realize the ant understands that. They are wise creatures. Just say amen. Just smile at me. I know we don't like that. That's too many vacations and things we want to go on. And I'm the world's worst. I go places I know our family don't need to go. Makes me so mad for years later. I know because I'm paying for it years later. But we don't see it that way. We deserve. We need. We got to have. We got to have it. No, you don't. An ant has enough wisdom to understand, this is what I need. This is what I save. This is what I have. And I may not have the biggest, the best, or whatever, but you know what? In my life, I'm always going to be supplied for. And if I mismanage my life, let me tell you who I'll blame. I blame God because He don't give me enough. I'll blame God. God, you're going to have to help me. I need some more. I need you to come through. God's saying, I gave you a check every single week for the last 15 years. Where did it go? Well, it's not enough. Enough for what? Enough for you to make yourself feel strong? An ant's a very weak creature. Little old bitty thing. You step on it, mash it. But it has enough sense to know how to take care of itself. I got news for you. Every one of you in this room has enough sense to know how to take care of itself. Now, you may not want to listen to yourself, but if God gave that much talent to an ant, I guarantee you He gave you that same amount of talent. Number two, let's get off of the ant. Say, thank the Lord. Next one's got to be better. No, these are wise creatures. Now, understand, only unwise people will get your toes stepping on today. Remember now, they're always talking about me stepping on your toes. So the only person that's going to get their toes stepped on today isn't because of me. I'm just telling you what Solomon looked at walking around out in the woods and said, look, these animals got more sense than some people I see. These are wise creatures. The second one is a coney. Conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the what? Make their houses in the rock. A coney is a little animal. That's a coney. It's a hyrax. lives in the rocks. It's in Palestine. It's not a rabbit. It's not a. It's very feeble. It's got legs like a rabbit on the back, but it's very clumsy. You can tell it isn't built to swoof like a rabbit. It ain't made for hopping. It's made for burrowing and trying to get in between rocks so something can't eat it and something can't get it. He said, listen, a coney is a little bitty creature. It's an insignificant, weak little old creature, but yet it has enough sense to know to hide in the rocks. Even God gave that little animal enough sense to know that, listen, you can't fight off predators. You can't defend yourself. Go hide in the rocks. I don't even need to preach that very long, do I? David would later say, I have hidden myself in the cleft of the rock. You would find out that Jesus preaches of Himself. He said, I am the cornerstone. I am the rock. I am the solid rock. Anything that falls against me will crack and break. You can hide in me. You can rest in me. You can be secure in me. In fact, even your life, He says, if you build it on anything else other than me, you're building it on sand. But if you build it upon me, you're building it upon a rock that will last. And the storms may come and the winds may blow and everything else may fall around you, but those things built on a rock will not crumble. See, this little animal has enough sense to know it needs a rock. He has enough sense to know that he needs somebody stronger in his life. Let the weak say, I'm strong. An ant can say he's strong because God has supplied his needs. A coney can say, I'm strong because you know what? I don't have to be thick-skinned. I don't have to be invincible. I can climb up and hide in the cleft of the rock. And you know what? Those bears, they got sharp claws and they got powerful claws, but they don't cut through no rock. Those lions got big teeth and, man, they can chew up anything, but they can't take them out and stick them up under that rock. As long as I hide in the cleft of the rock, you know what? There is nothing, nothing that's big and bad out there that can get to me. So how in the world, Pastor, this little coney, God has put inside of him enough knowledge to know that you have to be a hider in something stronger than yourself. The third thing that he mentions, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by what? By bands. Locusts don't have anybody running the show. They don't have anybody dictating. They don't have anybody that says, hey, here's what we're fixing to do. They don't have one leader that says, all right, guys, here's the plan. I've drawn it here in the dirt. Y'all see, we're going to attack this farm today, and we're going to go over here. They have no leader, but yet they are in total unity with each other. He said, that's wisdom. Wisdom says, you know what? If two put their backs together, they're a lot stronger than one. Wisdom says, you know what? A three twisted up cord is stronger than just one string. Even a locust, I don't even know how big his brain is, but has enough sense to know if that other locust is right beside him and one's on this side, we're doing good. We are doing good. I tell you what, we'll all eat this grass together. I'll share with you. We'll make it together. They have enough foresight. You don't see no locust. Haul around. You ain't getting none of them. You can go over there and get you some. They all work together. They all fight together. One other creature. The last is the spider. Now, the spider can be described in two different ways. It's translated two different ways. It can be a spider, which is just like we know, a spider. Or it can also mean a gecko, a lizard. The translation can go either way. But either one of them applies to the same problem. And basically what he's saying is, listen, look at the spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in what? King's palace. I got a shed right there below my house. And the other day we cleaned that shed up, man. We had sprayed it down, swept it out. We were all excited about it. I walked down there yesterday and just rounded the corner. All of a sudden something hit me right square in the face. Spider web.
That rascal didn't care whose shed it was. He didn't ask for permission. He said, you know what? This door frame right here looks just good for me. I think this door frame is mine. He didn't ask. He said, this is a good place to catch flies right here. I like this spot right here. And I'm just going to go ahead and put my web up right here. He didn't care who walked by. He's sitting right there in the middle. Now, he's dead and gone now. Because he was a little bigger than he needed to be around my kids. But he sat right there, right in the middle of that web. When I walked around that corner, he didn't budge. He didn't care. He's like, this is my spot. This is my place. It don't matter if you got $1 million home. That little old spider will walk right up through that door and he'll say, this is a nice place to live. It don't matter if you carry him to the White House. They have to clean spider webs out of the corners at White Houses. But the president lives there. So do spiders. They decided it's a good place to catch flies. It's a good place to live. Spiders, he says, they're amazing creatures. They don't ask permission. They just simply by faith say, you know what, that's where I'm going to live. That's what I'm going to do. And I dare somebody to stop me. Little bitty creature. Insignificant creature. But you watch some of the old woman. She can't hardly stand the fact. Got spider webs all over. You just see one on the floor. Ah! Here you are, 100-something pounds. That thing don't weigh 2 ounces. And you're sitting there running away from it. Why? Because he knows his place. He knows his identity. Now let's walk back through this and look at it spiritually. Now in the Old Testament, Solomon saw this as wisdom. But in the New Testament, it is even more wisdom. Let's look at the ant. The ant does what? Stores. Looks forward to its future. Go with me in your Bible to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27. I want to show you something. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, See, people who are not ants, you'll see them all whining. Oh, grandma's died. Grandma's 140. Grandma needed to have done died and gone. I know I'm a cold individual, aren't I? But we're going to miss her. How are you going to miss somebody that all you already know where they are? Do you miss your jewelry every time you go to work? No, you know it's at home in a box. You don't sit around your desk all day, my jewelry's sitting there, I hope it's still at the house. No, you know it's in a box at the house. Just the same way with somebody. If they die, to be absent from the body is to be, I know where they are. They're safe, secure. Their soul, their spirit is at rest, at peace, sitting there gazing upon the power and the almightiness of God. And they're sitting there saying, how much longer do we get our body? How much longer? Now, I know we like to say, well, grandma's dancing right now. Grandma's not dancing. Grandma don't have no legs. She may be floating. She ain't got no body yet. But grandma's at peace, and grandma's at rest, and grandma's comforted, and grandma isn't crying anymore, and grandma isn't hurting anymore. And the next thing grandma will know is when she comes back and she gets a body that matches that soul and that spirit, and we'll be forever with the Lord, and we'll all meet in the air, and we'll all spend eternity together. That's a good way to know. I know where they are. I don't have to comfort myself by, well, they're probably hanging out together right now, walking on the streets of gold. No. I don't need to convince myself of something unscriptural to make me feel better. I know they're okay. God ain't ever lost nothing in His life, and He ain't lose nobody I cared about. Not a one. They're safe. They're fine. An ant has the understanding. But listen, we as Christians have to come to the understanding. It's appointed once to die, but after that, the judgment. Next verse. So Christ was once offered to bear sins for many, and unto them that look on Him shall He appear the second time without what? Unto
Next verse. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Paul said it this way. He said, listen, guys. He said, do you all know you're going to die? Yeah. Does that bother you? Because if it bothers you, there's a problem with you. He said, when you come to the full understanding, you'll understand this, that Christ also came and Christ died for all of our sins. And so when He returns, these people walk around, I hope I'm saved. I just hope. No. Paul said, when He comes back, I'll know that I will finally and forever be set free from all of this sinful world and all of this sin that's around me. And I will know true salvation, not just inward salvation, not just the knowledge of Christ, but I will be set free from my head to my toe. If there's one hair in my body that isn't saved, it'll get plucked out and left behind. I'm telling you, I am going free, 100% free. An ant. Paul's an ant. Paul understands. Listen, I'm looking futuristically. Always looking to the future. Everything I do today is determining my... He said, that's why the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in me. That's why He says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Everything is futuristic. He's storing it down. And He's saying there's going to come rainy days and bad days, but you know what? That's okay because I know the Lord and I know what I've got stored up and I know rust can't get to it and moths can't get to it and I'm going to be fine. If I asked you today, what do you look forward to? What do you have stored? What do you have stored that you look forward to? Well, I just can't wait till Christmas. Okay? You know, it'll be Thanksgiving soon. I love Thanksgiving. But just maybe there's somebody that stores up something there a little more valuable. So that when the wind blows and the world throws things and the kids aren't good and everything seems to be going awry, you're okay. To the Coneys, that's very simple. Every one of us in this room needs salvation. Look at the person beside you and say, are you weak? Are you weak? Yes, you are. Whether you like to admit it or not, whether you want to tell anybody or not, every one of us in this room, we can't make our kids grow up. We can't protect them. We can't keep our husbands, our wives healthy no more than we can. We can't guarantee anything. I can't guarantee you that I can drive home today and somebody doesn't hit me. I am a weak individual. There's only one hope that I have in my life to be secure and safe and to be able to close my eyes at night and go to sleep. Me and Brother Art, we had a chance to canoe some down the river, and people's like, well, I can't imagine seeing them snakes and stuff and dealing with that. And but I want to tell you what it does. It tells you, what are you secure in? We climb up in that old tent. I'd lay down. Man, I didn't worry about something coming up in there and getting me. I was going to sleep. It was so funny watching us take baths out there. That's the funniest part. Because it would be almost dark. That water would be getting cold. We'd have a bottle of shampoo and a swimming trunks. We'd wade off in that water. Here we are this deep in creek water. You can't see nothing. You can't. And all of a sudden, you're washing your hair and going under, holding your head and washing, letting the current of the water just wash the soap out. You think, oh, Lord, I couldn't. It just depends on how secure you are. See, I learned a long time ago, I can't live any longer than I'm supposed to. But I also learned I can't live any less than I'm supposed to. There is no weapon, there's no enemy, there's no demon, there's no power. He can't do nothing to me. I'm in totally different hands. The hands that I'm in protect me, and that cannot be plucked from them. I cannot be removed from them. A coney sits up in that little old rock. Big old bears growling outside, lions walking by, and he sleeps away. Saying, you may be big and you may be strong, but you can't move this rock. As long as I'm in this rock, I'm safe. Some of you today, you need to know that kind of safety. Safety is not coming to church and hoping God sees your good works. Safety is knowing the rock Himself. The third one was the locust. We have an unseen king. The world looks at us and says, y'all are a messed up bunch. Y'all worship somebody you can't see. You follow somebody you can't see. But like the locust, we are God's mighty army. And you know what? When we get side to side and shoulder to shoulder, I don't care how tough you think you are and strong you think you are, we are an army that cannot be defeated. You do not want to mess with that army. When we square up and we decide, you know what, for the glory of God, we are going forward. We're willing to die. We're willing to take persecution. We're willing to go through anything and everything to fulfill what God's called us to do. Finally, spider. I wish with all of my heart that we had that wisdom. I wish some of us in this room would square our shoulders sometimes and realize God gave me that and I am not going to live here. You know, those spiders, if they just live under the house, if they just live out in the woods, you know what? They have enough faith to know they just crawl right up on in there. And I don't care if you guard the door. I don't care if you spray it. As soon as the smell of it goes away, they're going to crawl right back up in there and he's going to find him a part that he likes and he's going to fix him a place and he's going to fix him a situation where he figures, you know what, that's mine and I dare you to move me. I dare you to move me. Even a spider has enough wisdom, enough faith to move forward and not retreat. And Solomon, when he saw these animals, was amazed. He said, God made them so small. They're weak, little old bitty things. But God has put inside of them the ability to move forward. Can I tell you something today? You may feel weak right in your situation. You may feel weak when it comes to your kids right now. And you may feel weak when it comes to your marriage. Or you may feel weak when it comes to where you work. You may feel weak around some of the people that you're with. But can I tell you something? You are. That ain't what you wanted to hear. You want to, oh, no, you're strong. No, you're weak. But here's the difference. Just like a spider who's weak can look at you and say, I'm strong. So can you. A little coney that lives up in the rocks and hides out away from the big predators can stick his head out and say, I'm a bad individual. So can you. A locust knows if I can just find me a buddy on both sides that'll pray with me and stand with me. If I can find two or three that'll gather with me and we'll stand and fight this thing together, I know that I can get through it. So can you. And if an ant, even though it may not have the best or the greatest, but its needs are always supplied. Can I tell you God's doing the same for you? He's doing the same for you. Not a one of us today will starve to death. I guarantee you I will not hear a message next week and somebody say, you know what, so-and-so was at church Sunday. They walked outside, got in their car, went back home, and they died of starvation. We may not have the best food. There's times I've eaten potted meat. There's times I've eaten steak. But as you can tell, I've never starved. And God will supply every need that we have. It may not seem like all the time the way we want it, but it's always enough if we manage it appropriately. I don't know where you are this morning. God sent me by here to tell you, you're weak. The devil's told you that 1,000 times. You're so weak. You can't do it. And he's right, to a point. I may be weak in myself, But this morning, you don't have to be just weak. You can be strong in Him. And God sent me by here to tell somebody who the enemy is beating you up with, you're too weak to do it, you're not good enough, you're failing, you're messing it up. And He sent me by here to tell you today, yes, you're weak, but I'm strong. I am the food when you need it. I'm the rock when you need it. I'm the friend when you need it. And I have given you the ability to walk into palaces. I have given you the ability to speak things that are not. Just go ahead and take them. Yes, you're weak. But in me, you can be strong. Will you stand?